I'm Pastor Keith Surface, and this is Simply Christ. God's amazing grace brought deliverance to my soul. Jesus took my sin away, and his blood has made me whole. One night, many years ago, in a dream, I saw the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the dream, I was rising to meet the Lord in the air. When the dream changed, and kind of like you rewind a video, it went backwards to a time period shortly before the appearance of Jesus in the clouds, and then it began to move forward at a normal pace. I found myself standing on top of one of many boxcars on a train which was speeding down a railroad track. The boxcars were filled with people, some of which I knew, and it had the appearance of a social gathering where people had glasses in their hands and maybe like party foods they were snacking on. In retrospect, I have often considered these boxcars were churches or maybe groups of church people. As I stood there, my mind was conscious of the coming of Jesus Christ, which I had just seen in the dream. I got the attention of a man I recognized who reached up and shook my hand. Now, I want you to get this picture. I'm standing on the top of a boxcar, and his hand is straight up, grabbing my hand. We're shaking hands. Kind of strange, I know. I grabbed his hand, and I spoke these words. Jesus is coming. We've got to be real. The man agreed with what I spoke, but seemed embarrassed that I was speaking it at that moment. I knew he did not understand the urgency, so I held to his hand and repeated the statement, Jesus is coming. We've got to be real. This time, the man tried to ignore my grip on his hand, and he attempted to continue his socializing with others in the boxcar. It was then the dream reached a point where it had initially began, and Jesus appeared in the sky, accompanied with a host of angels and an innumerable company of saints. I was still holding on to the man's hand when I began to feel myself being lifted up to meet Christ in the air. I loved the man, and I did not want to turn loose of his hand, but very soon my grip broke as I was lifted away. The man's attention was turned upward, and I saw the disbelief in his eyes as he spoke these words. No, but I believe. He spoke the same words again, but the disbelief was turning to horror. No, but I believe. As I was lifted higher and higher away from the train, others in the boxcars began to notice what was happening. They all cried out with the same words. No, but I believe. I watched as the train sped down the track until the track and land ended and the train began to tumble into an abyss like there was no bottom in sight. Almost in unison, everyone on the train was screaming, No, but I believe! No, but I believe! The dream ended in great horror for those who thought their believing would save them. Somehow, faith in Jesus Christ had been substituted for an empty mental assent. There is no doubt that we are saved by grace through faith, and also, as the Word of God says, that we stand by faith. Saving faith, however, is always based upon belief of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If just believing anything constitutes faith, then believing a lie would also be faith. Yet Paul warned of those who receive strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A suicide bomber may believe his death will guarantee himself heaven, but his firm belief is not faith. He is only believing a lie. Believing a lie never brings you into the promises of God. True saving faith brings such a response from God unto the believer that the existence of such faith is evident for all to see. The Apostle John told us, he that believes on the Son of God has the witness or evidence in himself. The biblical evidence of saving faith is as a city set on a hill. Jesus said it cannot be hidden. So let's take a look at the biblical evidence of saving faith. The Apostle Peter spoke these words at the council in Jerusalem, and it tells us that God bare them witness. He's speaking of Cornelius and his household. He said, God bare them witness, purifying their hearts by faith. Can you see that saving faith brings a clean heart to the believer? It's the promise of the gospel. God said, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And the Apostle Paul told us that the blood of Christ would purge your conscience, your innermost thoughts and feelings, from dead works to serve the living God. Another evidence of saving faith is found in the words Jesus spoke to Paul when he struck him down on the road to Damascus, and he sent him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He said that they might receive inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus went to the cross. The scripture's clear, as in Hebrews 13:12, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Through faith in Jesus Christ, sin is washed from our heart and nature by his precious blood. John reminds us of this, saying that Jesus loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Another place that we see an evidence of saving faith is in Romans 10:10, where the Apostle Paul tells us, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are transformed from one who was born a sinner into one who has been made righteous by the work of Christ. Paul tells us this in Romans 5:19. He says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The Apostle Paul told us, exhorted us to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. If our faith has not brought us what the Bible says true faith brings, then we should examine whether we are in the faith. Your eternity depends upon it. I'm Pastor Keith Surface, and this has been Simply Christ. Though 10,000 angels sing, with every voice lifted,